Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Wednesday in the octave of Easter, April 3rd. So glad that you're tuned in to the EWTN Network. Much to talk about this morning, much to discuss. And he is risen indeed. So today we are having Father Mitch on instead of Thursday. We have a scheduling issue for tomorrow, so we brought him on a Wednesday. And then we'll also have Joan Lewis, of course, live from Rome, as she always is, giving up an update on the activities of the Holy Father, also how he's doing health-wise, and his beautiful intentions for the month of April for prayer, centering around women and the dignity of women. Father Mitch is joining us today. We're going to get his perspective on some very sad things that happened coming from the White House and a president who claims to be a devout Catholic. So what do we as Catholics who are trying, doing our best, although we're not perfect, certainly we fall down, we get up, but how do we deal with this and how do we use this as an opportunity to evangelize, a witness to the faith, as opposed to just being extremely insulted, which is certainly understandable, and angered, you know, having a righteous anger in terms of the way this administration treats people of faith. And it's really, I think, very, very troubling on so many levels. First of all, you have a president who identifies himself as a devout Catholic, and then on Easter Sunday makes that the focus, makes his proclamation about transgender visibility, which had been declared for March 31st, that's the date, but making such a major deal out of it on Easter Sunday and saying, we hear you, blah, blah, blah. And for the most part, pretty much ignoring Christian messaging. He did come out with a general message for Christians after that. And then the Easter roll at the White House involving Easter eggs that kids bring, and I guess there's a contest each year. This year they put out a statement, no religious symbols allowed on the Easter eggs. It's Easter. Why are you there in the first place? It's just like this whole thing with Christmas, right? Can't mention Christ in Christmas. Well, what are you celebrating? It's insulting, and it's very painful for us. And that's why I was so glad to hear Cardinal Gregory speak out and describe in a public, a very, very secular news outlet on CBS's Face the Nation over the weekend, Cardinal Gregory saying that Joe Biden suffers from a term that we have in the Catholic Church of cafeteria Catholicism. So as heartbreaking as it is, as frustrating, we need to pray for our leaders. Scripture calls us to do that. But we also can use these as opportunities to re-educate ourselves and to encourage ourselves to make sure that we are doing everything that we can do to embrace the faith, to practice it the best we can, and then to help others do the same. And this will come up because it's made big news. The whole thing with this transgender day of visibility and how it was emphasized on Easter Sunday, even though the date had been declared several years ago already. And then there was another interesting part of the story, and I talked about this yesterday in my local hour with Vanessa Denha-Garmo. We do an in-the-news segment for the Michigan and Ohio listeners every week. There was a story that only the conservative outlets are covering, showing how the White House did not put the same visibility message on their social media accounts reaching the Hispanic population. Why is that? There was actually a Hispanic talk show host in New York who called him out and said, this is unacceptable for you to talk about this transgender focus on Easter Sunday. But interestingly enough, as I said, and we'll discuss this with Father Mitch as well, those messages were left off of those social media accounts. Why? Well, because exactly what the Hispanic talk show host in New York said, it's very offensive because most of those people are Christian and they're also Catholic Christians, a good number of them. So much to discuss with the one, the only Father Mitch Pacwa. That's coming up today on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday. But Joan Lewis is with us for our regular segment, of course, from Rome, Joan's Rome. Weather-wise, we've got some bad things going on out there. Just to let you know, heavy rain and severe thunderstorms will impact portions of the East Coast today. And they're saying all hazards are possible, damaging winds and hail being the main threats, heavy wet snow persisting across Wisconsin as well as upper Michigan into tomorrow, snow moving into northern New York and New England through today and tomorrow, and then moderate impacts of travel And they also say we could see some power outages, so be careful out there if you're traveling and keep an eye on things as well. 5 minutes past the hour. Again, it's a Wednesday in the octave of Easter. We're so glad you're tuned in to EWTN. A lot of news to get through, starting with that horrible earthquake in Taiwan. So let's get started and see what's happening in and around the world on Wednesday morning. Michael Kastner tells us that rescue efforts are underway to search for people who might be trapped in buildings damaged by the massive magnitude 7.4 earthquake that struck off the coast of Taiwan.
Over half a dozen people were killed and hundreds were injured by the powerful earthquake that shook eastern Taiwan early Wednesday local time. Dozens of buildings were damaged by the quake, including a 10-story building that was left tilting and on the verge of collapse. Rescue workers were reportedly trying to reach the basement of the building, fearing people might still be trapped inside.
Millions of people are under tornado watches this morning as a storm system, as we just mentioned in the weather, sweeping east out of the Ohio Valley. Most of those are in Georgia, but thousands are without power in Ohio, parts of Michigan, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and Kentucky. Severe tornadoes were also reported across the region with at least one death in Oklahoma. The storm expected to move into New England later today. And Mark Mayfield tells us that former President Donald Trump says he'll be addressing the issue of abortion next week.
At a campaign rally in Michigan on Tuesday, NBC News asked if he supported Florida's new 6-week abortion ban that the Supreme Court just upheld. Trump replied he'd be making a statement next week on abortion. In the past, Trump has suggested the idea of a national 15-week abortion ban.
Meanwhile, the votes are in for the presidential primaries in Wisconsin, Connecticut, New York, and Rhode Island. Voters casting ballots yesterday for their preferred presidential candidate, with President Biden and former President Trump winning in each of those states. Both Trump and Biden have already secured the delegates needed to clinch their party's nominations. This comes, as you heard, as the Trump campaign is in the key battleground states of Michigan and Wisconsin, which he won in 2016 but lost in 2020. Catholic News Agency tells us this morning that the Oklahoma Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday for a case that will determine if the state can fund a Catholic charter school. The case, Drummond versus Oklahoma Statewide Virtual Charter School Board, follows the board's decision to approve St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School. The school, as CNA reports, will become the nation's first religious charter school. Charter schools are publicly funded but privately run education institutions that retain autonomy in how they are run while still being publicly accountable. Supporters argue that refusing to allow the school to operate as a charter school is religious discrimination. The White House says it's outraged by an Israeli airstrike that killed 7 World Central Kitchen workers in Gaza. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby saying the administration expects a swift investigation into the incident and appropriate accountability.
This incident is emblematic of a larger problem and evidence of why distribution of aid in Gaza has been so challenging.
He said Israel must do more to protect aid workers on the Gaza Strip, adding that more than 200 humanitarian aid workers have been killed in the Israeli-Hamas conflict. Joe Biden spoke with the organizers, founding chief Jose Andreas, yesterday, offering condolences as support. The aid workers are members of the D.C.-based nonprofit World Central Kitchen, which delivers meals to people in war zones and disaster areas. There is outrage over the release of hundreds of illegal immigrants accused of stampeding and overwhelming Texas National Guard troops near El Paso recently. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says they were empowered by Joe Biden, a president, he says, who continues to push open border policies.
He took an oath, as everyone does who becomes president, to protect and defend the United States. He's not living up to his oath.
The judge accused the El Paso District Attorney's Office of not being ready to proceed with detention hearings, which happened on Easter Sunday. While most of the immigrants are released before the trial, some remain jailed on immigration detainers. More than 200 people tore down razor wire along the Rio Grande last month and rushed the border fence in an attempt to claim asylum. They're facing riot charges, and some have also been charged with assault. And a federal appeals court today will again hear arguments over a Texas immigration law. That law would give the state the power to arrest migrants suspected of crossing the border illegally. Art Arthur at the Center for Immigration Studies says despite today's hearing, the legal battle is not expected to be over, he says, anytime soon.
It's possible that SB 4 will never go into effect until the Supreme Court can finally issue a decision on the case, which will not happen this year.
The court has continued a block on enforcing the law while litigation continues. The Biden administration arguing the federal government has exclusive authority to control immigration policy, regardless of the state of Texas's opinion on how it goes about it. And over 90 pounds of fentanyl have been seized by Livonia police. That's a suburb in the Detroit area. After three raids in the city of Detroit and the northern Clinton Township suburb that happened on March 28, Police Captain Greg Yon says they also seized 100,000 pills laced with fentanyl, a kilogram of cocaine, and around $150,000 and 2.5 kilos of meth.
I'd like to announce that the largest seizure of fentanyl to date in the state of Michigan was made by our officers on March 28th.
Meanwhile, Livonia Police Captain Greg Yon says they're looking for more suspects after the drug bust in late March.
I can say this, that you don't sell this quantity of narcotics without having other people. You can't be a sole source and do this alone.
The Drug Enforcement Agency says 90 pounds of fentanyl, by the way, is enough to kill 20.4 million people. And Yon says the drug seizures are worth $4.5 million. The investigation began with a traffic stop last September. A second temporary channel is now open on the southwest side of the Key Bridge collapse, so essential vessels can access the port of Baltimore. The Maryland governor calling it an important step forward. A smaller passageway opened to marine vessels on Monday, and work continues to open a third channel that's at least 25 feet deep for larger ships coming through the area. A state Senate committee has advanced the Maryland Protection Opportunities and Regional Trade Act, and a floor vote is expected today. Senate President in Maryland, Bill Ferguson, introducing the emergency legislation last week to help the Port of Baltimore workers affected by the collapse of the bridge.
It is a true crisis. And so what we want to do is provide direct subsidies to individual workers and to businesses to keep people employed through this temporary emergency.
Money to fund programs included in the Port Act will be drawn from the state's Rainy Day Fund. If the Port Act does pass in the Senate, it will move to the Maryland House of Delegates for approval. State lawmakers hoping for final approval by the end of this week. And Aaron Rial tells us enrollment in vocational training programs surging, while enrollment in community colleges and four-year institutions dropping heavily.
According to data from the National Student Clearinghouse, the number of students enrolled in vocational community colleges rose 16% last year. Construction trades rose 23%, and programs covering HVAC and vehicle maintenance up 7%. Meanwhile, the median pay for new construction hires is up 5% to $48,000 a year last year. A jobber survey of high school and college age people found that 75% said that they would be interested in vocational schools, which offered paid on-the-job training.
More is being learned about how thieves made off with $1 million worth of jewelry at a New Jersey mall. Police say the suspects entered a vacant store using an unlocked door and cut a hole in the wall in order to get into Venzio Jewelers at the Ocean County Mall in Toms River.
It was flooded with the cops, and we'd never seen anything like this in the mall. It's crazy.
That's mall employee Rashawn Walker. Police say the thieves covered the sprinklers with tape, deactivated the alarm, and then were able to get into the safe with blowtorches using rags to prevent any smoke from escaping. Police say that they have identified vehicles of interest in last week's overnight heist thanks to surveillance video. And Katie Gray explains a South Carolina couple's vacation went, pretty south when they were left by a cruise ship in West Africa.
A Garden City couple, along with six others, struggling to rejoin a cruise after they were left on an African island on March 27th. Norwegian Cruise Line officials tell WMFB the cruise line couldn't retrieve them safely because of a poor weather conditions near the island located in West Africa. The group was reported to be on a private tour that day and didn't make it back in time. The passengers instructed to travel to another port in Senegal in efforts to catch up with the ship and reboard there. The cruise line has offered to reimburse the group for their travel expenses after they make it back safely on board.
And those folks involved in that incident from South Carolina. The price of fun has never been higher. Bankrate senior industry analyst Tom Rossman says it's called funflation.
Funflation is basically that the cost of entertainment has gone up considerably in recent years, whether we're talking concerts or sporting event tickets or dining out, travel. There's really been a surge in all of these activities following the pandemic.
A new Bankrate survey finds that over one-third of U.S. adults are willing to go into a little bit of debt for at least one discretionary purchase this year. Rossman also says millennials and Gen Zers are the most likely to extend themselves on leisure activities, while Gen X and baby boomers tend to cut back. 15 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN and Ave Maria Radio's Catholic Connection. Check us out online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Up next, maybe a little bit confusing. It's a Wednesday, not a Thursday, but Father Mitch, who normally joins us on a Thursday, is joining us on a Wednesday because of a scheduling issue, but we look forward to chatting with him. And then, of course, we also always, every single week, look forward to chatting with our very own Joan Lewis, Jones Rome, at WordPress.com, the latest from the Vatican, from the Eternal City. Joan provides that every single week, and today she'll do the same. We'll be right back on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Another year has come and gone. And whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka. Integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about living as a Catholic in a post-Christian world. Cultures all over the world are turning against their own history. These once Catholic places are now openly against the Church and her teachings. They say it's in the name of freedom and inclusivity, but Father John asks, what do those words really mean? Join us this week as Father John talks about true freedom and the harms of relativism. Tune in for Christ is the Answer Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Welcome back. Actually, almost 18 minutes past the hour now. Hope you're having a beautiful Wednesday in the octave of Easter. And appreciate Father Mitch joining us on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday. So, Father, I always try to look at these situations and say, okay, how can we use this as an opportunity to learn more about our own faith and to evangelize? And I'm talking about the situation with President Joe Biden and the Transgender Visibility Day. Now, that date had already been set aside, apparently, but what people were very upset about, many in the Christian communities around the country, was that there was such an emphasis in this proclamation made on that day, which of course coincided with Easter. And it was very disturbing to so many people because we know that you're not helping these people who are truly struggling possibly with gender dysphoria. We are to walk with them, but then to eventually bring them to the truth of which we know we're made in the image and likeness of God, male and female. So how do you think we should be responding? Because more and more stories are coming from Joe Biden and other similar politicians who claim to be Catholic.
Yeah, well, I think someone who was just 2 years ahead of me in the high school seminary is now the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington. Mm-hmm. And he rather frankly stated that President Joe Biden is a very sincere Catholic. He loves his faith and practices it more than many other presidents. You know, certainly we can remember there have been presidents on both sides of the aisle who didn't go to church, though they professed Christianity. President Biden does. But on the other hand of his sincerity, the Cardinal Archbishop identified him as a cafeteria Catholic. Mm-hmm. He's someone who I think sincerely loves the faith, but he picks some things to highlight that are very comforting to him. And I think we have to, it does us well to recognize he finds elements of the faith comforting. He praises Rosary. I'm sure he finds that something that gives him a lot of peace. On the other hand, when elements of our moral teaching that are tied into our faith, such as the issues of life, the life beginning at conception and being sacred in the eyes of God until natural death. There he picks and chooses. I think that he would agree with the strong discouragement against capital punishment, but he does not agree. In fact, he's become increasingly in disagreement with our teaching that life begins at conception and must be protected. That's very serious. I think we have to keep this in mind. I was on a podcast the other evening, and it's not just the life issues that are up for grabs. A lot of attention is given, but thou shalt not steal, that's up for grabs. In a lot of states, in California, you can steal and commit a very serious amount of theft, and there are no consequences. Apparently, the state approves of stealing. You can steal up to $950 without, you know, any problem. And the people who try to stop it are the ones that are stopped. We have... All right, we're talking about lots of people in society, including many politicians. Thou shalt not bear false witness mm-hmm. is not highly prized. Patriotism is not highly prized everywhere, and that's a sin against the Fourth Commandment. So we have lots of commandments of God that are neglected and even encouraged to be infringed. And we don't see the president doing that. And, of course, the issues about life do have a higher property, a higher value than property values. But it indicates that all the commandments are pretty much up for grabs in our society. And, you know, the idea of a Catholic president trying to call us both to obedience to the commandments and to the virtues that are underlying obedience. That's not happening. And this is largely because he picks what is politically convenient to promote, and he promotes what is politically convenient, such as the abortion issue, he conveniently chooses to compartmentalize it. That word, it's a little bit of a long word, but it's a very important word. Compartmentalization means that you put certain areas of your life in a compartment that you isolate from the rest of your life. So, for instance, the issue of abortion gets put in a compartment separate from your expectation of judgment by Jesus Christ for what you do to the least of his brethren. And President Biden does exactly that. And, you know, it was interesting. I don't know if you saw the interview with Wilton Cardinal Gregory.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was with the Episcopal Archbishop of Washington, mm-hmm. who was emphasizing that she was in favor of, you know, keeping the abortion, as she called it, right. especially in the early stages of pregnancy. You know, the cardinal was calling the president out. It was a very encouraging to hear that, and he was made reference to conversations between Pope Francis and the president in that regard, that the Pope tries to engage the president in these issues in private conversation, and so that's going on. But the president, you know, going back to a meeting that Ted Kennedy held at Hyannisport in the early 70s.
Father, hold that thought. We're going to coming up against a break, so we're going to pick that up when we come back. We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa. Of course, our cultural connections here on Catholic Connection joins us every week. And, of course, he needs no introduction, wonderful theologian, scripture scholar, and one of our most popular and much-loved talk show hosts here on EWTN, the one, the only, Father Mitch. We'll be right back. More on this issue with the president, abortion, transgenderism, and much more. Happy Easter in the Easter Octave, Wednesday of the Easter Octave, April 3rd. Father Mitch Pacwa joining us for our cultural connections as he does every week. Father, I want you to pick up on the meeting and continue the thought regarding that meeting involving the Kennedys and the issue of abortion.
Yeah, there were three Catholic priests. One of them actually later on ran for Congress, Father Robert Drynan, Joseph McCormick, and I forget the third. They met with her, and they were trying to hammer out a way that a Catholic politician could hold a pro-abortion stance and yet stay within Catholicism. And they talked about a variety of ways to hedge the position, saying, look, this is personally, I'm against this, but I can't go against what the law of the land is, that kind of thing. However, this has encouraged lots of Catholic politicians to then take a pro-abortion stance. And not only Catholics, but within the Democratic Party, I watched pro-life politicians, one after another, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and the worst to me was Jesse Jackson, who his mother was going to abort him. He was pro-life. He said, I have to be, because pro-life Christians saved me from being aborted by my mother. And then he became pro-choice, pro-abortion. They all made this kind of compartmentalization, that they put that aside instead of saying, look, as a Christian, I am against murder. I am against theft, and I am against killing the innocent unborn by dismembering them in a womb. I'm against these issues, and I will work to protect life, property, by our Constitution, the pursuit of happiness, which is part of being a property owner, that you gain freedom by owning your own property and having its integrity. That freedom is very much attacked right now. So this is the kind of thing where I want to help promote human life to its full. And this is something, especially when you consider, as I frequently do, the racial tones of this, that 30% plus, over 30% of all abortions are done to African-American children, even though they're only 13% of the population and declining because of this. These are serious issues. And I would want the president to run on that. What we see instead is that he is making abortion and some of the politicians in his party, especially, though plenty of the Republicans, I think, are weakening on this, are running in favor of legalizing marijuana. What a policy. You want to run on the right to kill children in the womb and to use drugs. This is a pandering to people's lower elements. And, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, to make that, and Republicans, by the way, are changing. Say, well, we can do this. That there are also plenty of them who are weakening on the pro-life issues. As well as drug issues. And then what else are they up to? This is where being a leader recognizes that there are moral stances where we don't want to go to the Taliban. The Taliban is just reinstating the stoning of adulteresses, not of adulterers, but of adulteresses. So women can be stoned for this. We're not asking for that. But we're not saying we want to jail every woman that seeks an abortion. That's not what we're talking about. But we also are talking about what we can do as Christians, especially as Catholics, to say these are values we will support. And rather than say, I can get your vote if I support you committing sin. That's not
that was my next point, Father, because part of this has to... Yeah, part of this has to do with the Hispanic community and how they were left out of the announcement on March 31st. Of course, that date has been decided, as I mentioned earlier, for Transgender Visibility Day. But then
that happened back in around 2010. So
right,
some guy invented that date. It's just out of the clear blue.
Right.
And the day before April Fool's Day for Transgender Clarity Day or Revelation, whatever it is, Visibility Day. And... In the White House. Now, President Biden was asked about that in a press conference, I think yesterday. He said, I didn't do that. So I'm not even sure he knows what had happened.
Yeah.
You know, that, but, you know, that his somebody in the White House said this. He says it wasn't he. I don't know. But whoever it was, you know, to do this on the day of the resurrection, where... you know, already it's a policy. It's not a new policy. It's been an old policy of not allowing religious symbols in the art contest on the day after Easter egg roll at the White House. Okay, I mean,
see, I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard because
yeah,
talked
yeah.
about that one too.
It was mentioned. This started about 40 years ago. They said on the news. So it's not. It doesn't seem to be a new policy. I think some people, you know, again. You have to try to get authentic witness. The story has to be checked. I haven't had a chance to check the source on that. But if it is an old policy, okay, they got that policy, and that's what they do. But it just was exacerbated by having Easter Sunday officially declared by somebody in the White House that this is Transparency Day. Why are we against it? Well, for one thing, there's an integrity of a person physically. Secondly, the transgender operations and hormone treatments cut off 50% of your life expectancy. You reduce life expectancy by 50%. So you're talking about people living on average of 40 years instead of the normal 80. And then you add to that the people who have the transgender treatments have a 42% suicide rate. You say, this is wrong. And, you know, what are you, trying to kill these people? Is this what you want? You know, well, no, we care about them. What do you care about them? This is like saying, my son is a 7-year-old. He likes drinking straight shots of bourbon. So I'm going to give it to him. No,
yeah.
I'm not.
No.
It's going to kill him.
Yeah. See, and the whole thing, too, there's a whole other aspect we didn't get to, and hopefully we can talk about that. But it really, I thought it was disingenuous that he kept all that information, the White House did, away from a big voting block for them, and that's the Hispanic community who wasn't, they weren't even notified of the announcement and the proclamation that the president himself signed, even though he doesn't seem to remember it. Father Mitch, great discussion. Happy Easter to you. We look forward to joining you again, God willing, next week. We'll be right back. Always great to catch up with Joni, as I call her, Joan Lewis. Joan's her own at WordPress.com. And also you can see her every week and at home with Jim and Joy Pinto, love that program, and she does such a great job of bringing us Joan's Rome. So we were talking during the break, and it's just kind of funny. I'm sure listeners would appreciate it because they love when we talk about all things Italy and Rome, but we were talking about pranzo because it's lunchtime in Italy, so a little bit, maybe a little after lunchtime right now, but you went for a great sandwich right below you and always looking for new places to tell people about. So this one's right below your apartment then, right?
Oh, yeah, it's called street food, and because it's so near my place, it's like, why would you go out your front door to have lunch when you could have it at home? Well, of course, you could have it at home if you've gone grocery shopping, but if you still have to, if you don't have ingredients, you go out. And well, this place has absolutely remarkable sandwiches, terrific bread. I don't know, there's probably 80 different combinations of meats and cheeses and Lord knows what. So,
what's the name of it? Because it's kind of a fun place if people are busy on a pilgrimage and they just want to grab a sandwich over by the Vatican, right by outside of Paul the Sixth Hall. What's the name of the place?
I think it just says street food, Teresa.
Oh,
I have to look that up, and I will email you. And well, you know, one of those things that because it's there, you walk by it, you say hi to everybody on your way, you know, to or from an errand, or while you're sitting there. And I mean, I got to the point, I probably eat there once a month, maybe twice a month or something, not that often. But often enough that when I go in, they say the usual.
Well, you know what's going to happen now that we're talking about it, that's another place for you, because we also talk about Lavatoria. People are going to be looking for Joni now at street food in Rome, not far from Paul the Sixth Hall. So. Now, we could spend the rest of the time talking about all the great places to eat in Rome or do 25 shows on that and still not exhausted. But let's get to the Holy Father, the audience today. But first, his prayer intentions for April are beautiful, all about women and the dignity of women.
That was quite exceptional, actually, yes. His prayer intention for the role of women. And we know he has spoken since day one of his papacy about the importance of women in our life, in the church role. And speaking of roles, he has put quite a number of women into very important positions in the Vatican, et cetera. But the important thing in this prayer intention was that the Pope talks about the gap that exists between declared principles and actual practice. And, you know, he said, in theory, we all agree men and women have the same dignity, but this is not carried out in practice. And then he points, he doesn't name specific countries, but those countries in which women can't work or they're in a minority, they can't drive cars, they have to wear certain clothing, you know, mandatory dress clothes, impediments in education, denial of assistance for job opportunities. And he had the courage to write, to say, in many countries, genital mutilation is still practiced. So just he names all the differences, begs people to obviously, you know, change that where a country's constitution may say everybody has rights, but then in practice that wouldn't be the case. And especially if we look at education, so many parts of the country, if there are people starving in the world, most of them will be women. And girls, and he said by, you know, 2030, 8% of women and girls will live in poverty, 25% of women will not have enough to eat. But then he goes on to point out how women, of course, are the heroines of our time. But he said women were also very important, and this is something to remember, in Jesus's time. I mean, you look at the role of Mary, of Jesus's mother, with the apostles. You look at the fact that Mary Magdalene was the one who announced the resurrection to the world. and so many of our women saints, my word, he names, you know, St.
Right.
Teresa of Lisieux, Catherine of Siena, of course, and Saint, and Teresa of Avila, all of whom are doctors of the church. So it's an important service, I think, this monthly, I mean, it has been for decades, mm-hmm. this monthly prayer intention to highlight certain needs in the world, who needs to be prayed for, the ill, the poor, women. There's so many categories that the Holy Father includes, and this, I think, is a very, you know, a very important one because it really carries through with so much of what he's done over the years.
Right, and I think talking about something as important as the dignity of women, it harkens back to Benedict XVI, John Paul II, and it's a reminder for people who follow the Pope, and I think lots of times we may take some things or understandings for granted that, okay, you know, we know about St. Teresa of Avila, St. Therese, you know, St. Catherine being doctors of the Church,
right.
And of course, St. Hildegard, that's kind of like not news for us, but when he is speaking, and he's speaking to the entire world, through these messages, because the secular media pick up on them, that is a little bit of a mini catechesis for the people as well, because we kind of just assume, you know, that everybody knows that. But I think that's super important to highlight, and also, as you said in Scripture, how Jesus really treated women differently, especially for men of his time and his position.
Oh, yes, absolutely. When you think of Jesus talking to the woman at the well alone,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, she mm-hmm. could have been ostracized from society because she was the woman. Nobody would have thought to ostracize Jesus, but they could question him, you know, why would you be there alone with a woman at the well? But what's important about these prayer intentions, too, Teresa, at least on the Vatican, you know, website, is the number of languages. Obviously, what I was reading to you, the specific lines from that prayer, that is in many, many other languages. So the awareness is not limited to one language or a majority of languages, but to languages that would cover the, you know, that would cover the planet. And so that's a very good thing, too. And all this is done, has been done for years. I remember when I worked at the Vatican, the Worldwide Prayer Network was a part of what we did every single month. Looked forward to getting until Pope Francis, under John Paul and Benedict, there were two intentions every month. There was what they called the general prayer intention, and then there was the missionary prayer intention. But now there's just one, you know, with Pope Francis. So, but again, important and a key word in the Pope's vocabulary. So.
Yep. And then the catechesis today for the audience is about justice, correct?
Absolutely. The cardinal virtue, he said, the second cardinal virtue is justice. And again, he talks about justice, and without justice, there is no peace. I've seen that headline over the years many, many times on the Osservatore Romano, the daily newspaper, whenever there are articles being posted about, you know, an ongoing war, mm-hmm. et cetera. And, of course, if there is no justice, there is no peace. And where there is no justice is where you often have uprisings in countries. People just know it's something ingrained into you as a human being at birth. People understand what good is. They understand bad. They understand justice. And so he's obviously had a lot to say on that. And he said it's the moral virtue, of course, he said, in that it's a constant and firm will to give their due to God and neighbor. And that is how it's described in the Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
But and the important thing, I think, about justice is, of course, we should practice it one towards the other. But he said it's a social virtue. It's directed towards creating communities in which each person is treated in accordance with his or her innate dignity. And for this reason, of course, it's the basis for peace.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have
now,
justice just for coexistence. It leads to so many things.
And you can see that in so many news stories that we cover in general, where people are reacting because they feel, well, for the pro-life world is a big, and pro-life, this is a big thing. because of the justice, the injustice of killing the innocent, the most vulnerable. We only have about 5 minutes left, so I wanted to mention, because we were chatting back and forth, as we always do via email, the new book-length interview with Pope Francis. You've referenced this in your emails today, Joni, focusing on the relationship with Pope Benedict XVI. It's entitled The Successor, and it was released today, and the Vatican News is reporting that the Holy Father remembered the former Holy Father as a man of great gentleness who suffered a lot. So that is now being released by the Vatican. It's called The Successor.
Yes, it's a book written by a colleague, and from a Spanish colleague, Javier Martinez Brocal. He's with ABC Español. And so this was an interview conversation with the Holy Father, and he talks about so many things in this book, but your particular the words about the subtitle of the book is My Memories of Benedict XVI. And so Francis reflects on that relationship, and it's very interesting because he does kind of, he talks about how the late German Pope's secretary, Archbishop Georg Ganschwein, who wrote when Benedict had died, who had published some thoughts on Benedict, and contrasting the image that has always been presented of a fantastic, wonderful relationship between the Pope and the former Pope, the Pope Emeritus. And so the Ganschwein version indicated some holes in that fabric of a relationship, whereas the Pope says, you know, he was like a father to me. We had wonderful relations, and he corrected me. He listened to me. He always defended me against any critics. And he said, in particular, I thought this was interesting, he said that the former pontiff backed him in his support for civil unions for same-sex couples. How he defended me, Francis said. So there's a very interesting testimony on that area. And he did have one piece of news, the new book. There had been news that the Pope was thinking of producing a document, or having the Vatican produce a document altering the rules or expanding them or whatever for a papal conclave. And Francis did say that he doesn't have one. His big bit of news in the book was that he has no intention of altering the role for a conclave. But interesting enough, he did mention at a certain point, and I had it in my blog yesterday, he wrote that in the end of it, of the interview, the Pope revealed he's already ordered a revision of papal funerals. So nothing about a conclave, but he explains that the funeral vigil for Pope Benedict XVI will be the last, if he gets his way, with the Pope's body outside the coffin and the catafalque resting on pillows. Popes should be watched over and buried like any other child of the Church with dignity, like any Christian. I certainly agree with that. But the Pope is also not any Christian. He is the successor of Peter. He is the successor, this is just Jones' thought, of the very first Pope appointed personally by Jesus Christ, the founder of our Church and faith. And so I remember, Teresa, and I wrote about it yesterday. I said, you know, when I worked for the Vatican, all of us, now Pope John Paul, of course, died 19 years ago yesterday. And 19 years ago today, where was I? I can tell you. I was in the Clementine Hall with all the other employees of the Vatican as we filed past. I could have touched him. I could have leaned over and hugged him if I wanted to. We filed past the body of John Paul II, and that was so wonderful. He'd been such a huge part of our life for years, and to be able to stand in line to see him, to cry, to pray, to mourn, was such. It was a cathartic experience. And Pope John Paul, as was Benedict, he's a shepherd, and people are his flock.
Right.
And that's exactly how I felt. And then yesterday, in my personal comments entitled Some Thoughts on Papal Funerals, I published a picture that I took. I didn't want to take it, but I knew that even for posterity, I had to. I took a picture. I was a dozen feet away from Pope Benedict as he's
I remember
lying
that. You sent that picture to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's lying. You can look at it today, and you can just sit there and pray and mourn. And he's resting on pillows. He's clad in red vestments, has a mitre on. Why not see him?
Right.
Why not?
We need to talk about this more, but we're out of time again. Oh, no. Already 53, almost 54 minutes past the hour. Joni, you have a blessed weekend and a beautiful Divine Mercy Sunday, and we'll catch up, God Lord willing, a week from today. JonesRome at WordPress.com. We'll be right back.
Ciao, my name is Antonio Ruggiero, and if you're in the mood for some real authentic Italian food, Antonio's is the place. We have awesome pizzas and calzones, and old school dishes like spaghetti carbonara alla Bucelli, and polenta, and signature dishes like chicken Antonio that will bring your memories back to Italy. We have great authentic food, friendly service, and a wonderful atmosphere, all for a great price. So let our family cook for your family.
Antonio's Cucina Italiana
teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Join Charity Mobile, the pro-life, pro-family phone company for nearly 30 years. New customers get a free phone or $100 off, plus free shipping and free activation. Use promo code AVE, A-V-E. There is no contract or termination fees. 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Our pro-life reps are based in the USA. Enjoy great coverage and great service. Join Charity Mobile. And by the way, you believe. Go to charitymobile.com/Ave.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Of course, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Good Lord willing, talk to you tomorrow on a Thursday. Ciao, ciao, a domani.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connections.